You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Wednesday, April 7th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. You can follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. You can follow the show at Locked On Twins. I'm a writer at Twins Daily and a lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week podcasts on your favorite baseball team. Or if you're a White Sox fan listening, Cleveland fan listening, on your team's biggest rival, bringing you 5 games a week. Check out the network as well. I mentioned the White Sox and Cleveland. Great podcast hosts over there, Herb Lawrence, Chris Tannehill with the White Sox, Jeff Ellis over in Cleveland. They do a really, really nice job. Also, Rylan Stiles for the Kansas City Royals is fantastic, and Chris Castellani for the Detroit Tigers. We're going to be linking up with them quite a bit this year as we talk through these series, and the Twins get another series win today. They win 3-2 in Motown in Game 3 of this series. They whooped on the Tigers in Game 1, 15-6. They lose a tough one yesterday in extra innings, and then come back today and win 3-2. This was an interesting game again, I thought. Matt Boyd's on the hill. You know, I thought yesterday when I looked at this matchup, incredibly, incredibly good matchup for the Twins, just in terms of having your ace on the mound in Maeda. And Maeda wasn't very sharp on opening day, but he still got through it. You know, 4 1/3, I think he only gave up a run in that start, got into some trouble, but ended up pitching out of it and saw similar stuff today. We'll get to Maeda in a second, but I thought this was a great matchup against Matt Boyd. Matt Boyd's not a guy I'm sold on. Left-hander for the Tigers, was just brutal in 2020, was good in the first half of 2019, but since then has been really, really bad and gives up a ton of home runs. Right-handers just crush him. And in response to that, Rocco Baldelli going with 9 right-handed bats in his lineup. That was before Brent Rooker hit the IL with a cervical strain. So Jake Cave checks in and hits 9th. So Rooker's to the 10-day IL. And the Twins are getting awfully thin in right-handed bats now with Donaldson and Rooker down. Hopefully Donaldson's back Sunday or Monday. But Kyle Garlick got the start in this game and hit 2nd. I thought he played well at the dish. Made a really nice throw late in the game to throw out Cabrera. We'll talk about that crazy play. But the Twins are running thin a little bit in right-handed bats, and you don't want to run into this problem of not having enough against left-handed pitching, because tomorrow in the home opener, left-handed pitcher Marco Gonzalez for the Seattle Mariners, and then Yusei Kikuchi on Saturday, the Twins will see. And I actually think it might be another left-hander. Justice Sheffield, I think, is actually pitching Sunday. I'll have to check on that, but it could be 3 left-handers in this upcoming series with Seattle, and they have Boston for 4 after that. So 7-game homestand coming up. Twins going to head home on a happy flight after this win. Let's talk about this game. Matt Boyd was terrific. Just shut down the Twins, and I haven't seen Matt Boyd look that good really ever. I kind of can remember his starts from the beginning of 2019. I think this is what they look like. Just pounding the zone with strikes, getting ahead on every single hitter. And I think the Tigers, for the most part, came into the series with a game plan. Their pitchers did. I thought Casey Mize executed really well yesterday. I thought Boyd was really good today, mixing his pitches as well. And he had command of all 3 of his pitches. You know, good changeup. His fastball was right on the money. He was beating right-handers down and in with that slider all day long. I thought Boyd executed really, really well and gave the Tigers a chance to win this game. Did they leave him in a hair too long? No, I don't think so, because his pitch count was so low. The Twins were swinging a lot. You know, not on the first pitch, because there were so many called first strikes. I thought the Twins could have been a little bit more aggressive on the first pitch. But credit goes to Matt Boyd for this start. I thought he was terrific for Detroit. I was wrong about him. I thought the Twins would get to him. And this is going to be a trend. Like, until they buck it, the Twins against left-handed pitching is going to be a trend, because they just were so bad against left-handers in 2020. So we're going to continue to watch that as the year goes on. And I wouldn't say today was necessarily encouraging. Garver gets the start, leads off. 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, strikes out twice against Boyd, grounds into a double play. I mentioned Garlick hit 2nd, Cruz 3rd, Polanco hit cleanup today. Many, many were complaining on Twins Twitter. Sometimes you fall into the pits of Twins Twitter, and it's just a minority, but many people didn't like Jorge Polanco hitting cleanup today. I get it, he's been bad so far this year. But I do like the contact ability out of that 4 spot, and he hit 4th a lot in spring training and really kind of thrived out of that role, even though it is spring training. I thought looked good in that spot, and he hits cleanup today. We'll get to him. He had the biggest hit of the game. Buxton hit 5th. Another injury scare for the Twins. Buxton runs down the line in the 2nd inning on a ground out to short. Kind of does that jump step that Donaldson did in between 1st and 2nd. Not as exaggerated, but similar. And I was thinking, 10 days, hamstring. No, Buxton stayed in the game. Hopefully he's okay. and it was just, he kind of slowed it down. He was walking gingerly back to the dugout, but he looked pretty good. He doubled in his next at bat and made some plays defensively. Miguel Sano hits sixth. He looks lost out there right now, 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. I want to keep banging that drum, process, but Matt Boyd owns Miguel Sano in his career. I believe that is now 24 strikeouts in, I want to say, 40 at-bats. Miguel Sano against Matt Boyd in his career. I don't know what it is, because Sano crushes left-handers, or should, and Boyd just has his number. Like, I think he just knows how to pitch to him. It's so weird. 40 at-bats and 24 strikeouts is just nutty. Williams hit 7th, and Andrelton 8th. I thought Andrelton had a terrific game. He was 2-for-3 with a couple singles. Jake Cave, I mentioned, hit 9th. He had a single. Garver hit that double play, and Cave was doubled up at 2nd, but I thought the offense as a whole for the first 5 innings was silent outside of Buxton hitting that double coming around to score on a sac fly from Williams. Really good spot there to have Williams come up with Buxton on 3rd and 1 out after Sano grounded out to the right side. It's better than a strikeout. Buxton got to advance. That's how the Twins scored the first run, tied this thing up at 1. But the offense just really, really harboring and struggling to put runs up on the board and just to link some hits together and make hard contact off Matt Boyd today. But that's, again, a credit to him. I thought he pitched very well. Let's talk about Kenta when we come back. More on this offense and where this game went, breaking down some of the biggest plays today and what I thought after this word from Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well, and these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me. That is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. So the Twins offensively against Matt Boyd, not great, but they did get to him in the 6th inning a little bit. After that Cave single, Garver grounds into the double play, and the frustration was boiling, I think, for me and among Twins fans. It just felt like the 2020 Twins again, unfortunately. I want to get away from comparing this team to the last 2 years because this team is different. This team has different personnel, and you saw that with that Andrelton Simmons play that we'll get to. But Garlick singles to get this rally started. Nelson Cruz then singles. Jorge Polanco doubles them both in. Polanco with 2 outs comes up. You're a little worried in that spot, hitting cleanup with how bad he's been, but rips a double into the gap. That was huge. And Nelly chugs it from first. Nelson Cruz, the fastest 40-year-old I think you'll find. So fast. And it was funny. This was juxtaposed against Miguel Cabrera not scoring on a sac fly and unable to score from second on a hard hit single as well. And Nelson Cruz is older and runs just so much better, scoring from first on this double. And the huge Comerica Park, they certainly benefited from that on this play. Nelson able to score because that ball just kept rolling into the gap. But the Twins score twice, take a 3-2 lead after Wilson Ramos hit a home run off Kenta Maeda. Kenta today, I thought it came and went for him, and it was similar to the Milwaukee start. I think Kenta, a trend so far, at least in his time as a Twin, is he does have trouble with his command right out of the gate. And then you can kind of see him settle in the 3rd and 4th inning. And then what kind of dictates his start is the 5th and 6th. And today I thought the command wasn't there early on, but his stuff is so good. He was still getting whiffs, even though Detroit, you know, scored. Akil Baddoo, RBI triple, just nutty what he's doing. But I thought the command wasn't there in the 1st and 2nd inning. Got through it, you know, had a strikeout. 3rd inning, he breezes. 4th inning, he breezes. 5th inning, he ends up retiring. He'd retired 8 in a row, and then Wilson Ramos gets him on a slider that hung, and that was just the command. You know, he left that slider up and wasn't commanding his pitches very well today. Ramos beats him to left field. I think Kenta could have gone a lot further in this game if his command was better, because he was efficient. Very low pitch count. I think he could have gone to the 7th or 8th inning, but he wasn't getting it done, and this game was too close for him to stay in. In the 6th inning, gets beat around, bases loaded, 1 out, in trouble. Jonathan Scope flies a ball to right field, and Kyle Garlick guns out Miguel Cabrera, who tagged up from 3rd, was out by a mile. This was a huge break for the Twins. I thought every big play in this game went the Twins' way. You know, that play by Andrelton, was fantastic. I thought Andrelton Simmons was perhaps the MVP of this game. Jorge Polanco, big hit. Alex Colomé, nice two-inning save. But Simmons, that play saved a run, and it was amazing throwing him out at the plate, throwing out Willie Castro. Just awesome throw from Andrelton. Cut off from Jake Cave. Cave tried to dive for the ball in left field. Nice cutoff. Simmons knows where he is and just quick transfer and rips it home. Garver tags him out right on the money. And then Miguel Cabrera gets thrown out at home as well. That was just that was a disaster waiting to happen in the sixth inning with the Twins clinging to that lead. But they got out of it. And defensive, you know, you're going to see defensive plays like that this year. You didn't see it on opening day. They had some troubles, including Andrelton. But they're going to make plays like this. They're going to stymie teams defensively in jams. And it's fun to see. I don't know if Jorge Polanco makes that play. I don't think he does on that throw home. I think it was pretty bang-bang. That throw needed to be there, and it was. And Andrelton put it in a perfect spot. Just incredible arm strength from Simmons. Simmons right now through through six games leads all American League shortstops in Fangraphs wins above replacement. If he can stay healthy and he looks like the defensive whiz we know he is to be at shortstop, I think you're going to see him high on WAR leaderboards just because he does add so much value defensively. And at the plate has been pretty good too. Good contact hitter we mentioned and has taken some good pitches as well. Alex Colomé, two-inning save. This was a savvy move by Rocco, I thought, to have AC come out and close this game for two innings. You look at the schedule. It's so important to know what's coming up when you have that next off day. There's an off day Friday. Taylor Rogers threw yesterday. Colomé did not. And so now Colomé is definitely out tomorrow, but you also get him that extra day on Friday, and then he'll be available on Saturday, potentially. I thought that was savvy. Now you have Rogers available tomorrow when perhaps you would have been going to AC and Rogers on back-to-back days, and Rogers would have been 3 days in a row. He would have been out tomorrow for the home opener. I thought that was an interesting move by Rocco, and certainly with the guys that were coming up in the lineup, Candelario, Mazzara, and Scope, especially with Mazzara in the middle, the left-hander. But Colomé, this is the luxury that you have with Alex Colomé. He can get lefties out too. He's got that cutter that can come in and break your bat as a left-handed hitter. It was better against lefties, I think, in 2020 than righties because he has that cutter, and I love him against right-handers. Just kind of diced up Jonathan Scope there. Great cutter down and away. And then beat him right down the heart of the plate with a cutter, I think it was. But I thought that was an interesting move. And looking back, I thought it was a savvy move. That's the type of move that a good manager makes to keep Rogers available for the home opener tomorrow instead of probably not having Colomé or Rogers tomorrow. You'd have Colomé on a back-to-back, and then you'd have Rogers out. So I thought that was a good move, and it didn't end up biting them. He struck out Candelario and struck out Jonathan Scope. Candelario crushes lefties, a switch hitter. So again, more strategy into that move instead of going to Rogers with a one-run lead in the ninth inning. Colomé, as I mentioned, unavailable tomorrow. Twins off day Friday. Just, I like that. I liked that a lot. And that's the kind of flexibility that Colomé gives you, that he can get right and left-handers out. With a guy like Sergio Romo the last year and a half, you know, you really only trusted him against right-handed hitters with that slider and his 86-mile-an-hour fastball. Decent changeup, but you don't want him facing Nomar Mazzara. You don't want him facing Jamer Candelario, even if Jamer's better against left-handers. I'd much rather have Colomé in that situation. That's the flexibility he gives you as a right-hander who can get both sides of the plate out efficiently. Colomé, zero ERA for the Twins thus far, putting opening day in the rear view, certainly. A couple good outings for him. I thought that was a good move. I mentioned, you know, Kenta not sharp, but still 2.61 ERA this year, 10 innings or whatever, 11 innings, and I think he has actually 10 and a third and 11 strikeouts thus far. Even when he's not sharp, and this is kind of a trait that you see in aces, even when their command isn't sharp, their stuff is so good they can still get whiffs and still have efficient outings. I thought he was fine today in terms of just results. If you looked at the box score, you'd say, oh, he had a good outing. If you watched the game, his command was leaving him and coming back and leaving him, and his defense made some plays for him. But Kenta, 2.61 ERA on the season through two not great starts, which is good results-wise. But after the break, let's talk more about this one. We'll talk about the Twins against lefties because that's coming up and my optimism for that. And also looking toward the home opener, very exciting tomorrow, 3:10 Central. Twins will have fans at Target Field. Can't wait to see that. Let's talk more after this word from BetOnline. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports needs. You know, football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON. Yeah, and football is over, but listen, March Madness is one of the best times of the year to play and to bet. And BetOnline.ag has a really easy-to-use platform. It's easy to navigate, and you can bet on futures for Major League Baseball, too. If you think the Twins are going to win the Central, if you think the Twins are going to win the World Series, you can bet on both those things. If you think Josh Donaldson is going to win MVP, you can bet on that, too. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline.ag. Marco Gonzalez going to start for Seattle tomorrow. The White Sox whooping up on Seattle out there. I don't think Kyle Lewis, the 2020 American League Rookie of the Year, is going to be back in time for this series, which is good news for the Twins. He's a great player. He's so fun to watch. So wish him the best in his recovery. I can't quite remember what the injury is, but I don't think he'll be back for this series. Seattle's way worse without him. Gonzalez is a guy who's put together really good seasons. You know, he's had some really nice numbers. He's not going to beat you with any velocity. He struggled in his first start this year, so you'd hope that the Twins can jump on him a little bit. But this is the type of guy, fringe eating lefty, that the Twins struggled against last year and perhaps might again this year based on some early results against Matt Boyd. They did just enough today to win. It wasn't a pretty win, but you have to win games like that. You were starting to get this feeling that they were going to leave Detroit losing 2 out of 3. You just can't do that. I mentioned that yesterday. They're going to lose to Detroit this year, but they can't give games away to Detroit, and they have to steal some games against bad teams like that. I thought this one more or less was a stolen game. I think Detroit helped them in a lot of ways. You saw a bad team kind of how they give a game away. I thought they did that today with Cabrera running home from third. And then the Twins just made plays. Like I said, when they needed to, Polanco, big two-out hit to drive in 2 runs. And Drault makes a great play. Garlic, nice throw home. They made the plays when they needed to. Colomé, some nice, you know, threw some nice pitches in the ninth inning. They did it when they had to. They got it done. They get out of Detroit. Happy flight. And they look toward the home opener in a series with Seattle, which they should be licking their chops for. I mentioned it could be 3 lefties in that series, so just continue to watch this lineup construction, especially now that Rooker's out. You just love to have Donaldson in there, but it's not like you're facing 3 lefties with the Yankees lineup. It's the Mariners lineup, and perhaps the Twins go out there and win 2 out of 3 again, but they have 2 series wins this year. They're 4-2. They're tied for first in the American League Central, just taking care of business. That's what you're going to see them do this year, certainly. Let's talk about that lineup construction, because there people didn't love what Rocco trotted out today. A bunch of right-handed hitters. Polanco, I mentioned, hitting fourth. That's just a matchup thing in that it gives you flexibility late in the game with a right-handed reliever to not have right switch. Like, Polanco's in there, and he's a better left-handed hitter. So you kind of make that other team, if they're going to bring in a right-hander, they then have to face Jorge Polanco, the left-handed Jorge Polanco in that case. So I didn't mind that. As I said, I don't mind him hitting cleanup. Byron Buxton's the ultimate spark plug, hitting that double to lead off the fifth inning, kind of got things going for the Twins to just tie this game up, you know, and just kind of get that offense going. The Twins scored all 3 of their runs in the 5th and 6th innings of this game. I think this might have been a game last year where you'd see the Twins just kind of bow out in the late innings. When they struggled early on in games, you just saw them die. And even when they hit the ball well early in games, you saw them die offensively. But in this one, they woke up just enough to win it. And I think you're going to see them win a lot of games defensively this year and with their pitching. And I've said throughout the offseason and out early in this season, I want to see them win games in 3 ways. I want to see them win games with their offense like they did 2 days ago in that series opener against Detroit Monday. I want to see them win games with their pitching, which they did in Milwaukee with Jose Barrios. And I want to see them win games defensively like they did today with Andrelton Simmons and Kyle Garlick and Buxton flagging down balls in center field. The thing about Buxton is we don't realize, like, a lot of the balls that he gets to, especially at Comerica, are balls that a lot of center fielders don't get to, but he makes it look so easy. He kind of just glides into gaps and catches balls. And I think it goes overlooked. We all see the diving catches. We all see the amazing wall scraping catches. But I think we underestimate how many hits he actually saves in the gaps because of his speed. And we've seen it in this series, certainly at Comerica thus far in the game and a half that he's played. Jake Cave's just a tough matchup against lefties, but nice little rip single to left. Nice to see him get going. I think Alex Kirilloff is going to be up soon. I think it's going to be a matter of weeks here. I think it's going to be 2 weeks, perhaps 3 weeks, depending on how he's looking at the alternate site. There's concern about Mitch Garver, and there's concern a little bit just about this catching duo not hitting thus far. I think they will end up being a really productive duo, especially against left-handed pitching, and I think Rocco should continue to give Garver chances here. Another really savvy move that I liked, the Twins have alternated these two, Garver and Jeffers, through the early part of the season here, but they went to Jeffers 2 days in a row these last two games, and then Garver got the start today. I thought that was savvy for a couple reasons. First, Garver gets the lead off against lefties. He's crushed lefties in his career. Second, you then get Ryan Jeffers for the home opener with Jose Berríos. Those two together, Jose Berríos and Ryan Jeffers, and depending on how they do together tomorrow and how Jose pitches, I think I'm going to have an article about this at Twins Daily this week, how good they are together as a tandem, just shutting guys down, ERA below one together. It's a very small sample, but I don't think it's insignificant that the Twins match up Jeffers with Happ. That's another way that they, or another reason they went back-to-back is they got to line up Jeffers with Happ, kind of a nibbler. But again, like Jose and Jeff together have been so good that I don't want them to break up that battery. I think they should be playing together every single time Berríos is on the mound, because the early results have been not just good. They have dominated offenses together. And you want to see it over a larger sample. I think it'll come back down to earth a little bit, but I don't think that that's insignificant. I think Jeffers stealing strikes on the fringes of the zone with Berríos' curveball and his changeup, and he's going to help any pitcher, but especially guys like Berríos has that big sweeping curveball, and Jeffers just stealing strikes all over the zone. I don't think it's insignificant. I think it's a big reason why Jeffers went back-to-back, with Garver being able to face the lefty today, with Jeffers being able to catch Jay Happ and now catching Jose Berríos in the home opener. I think that was another little savvy move by this coaching staff. But looking ahead, home opener, excited, going to be fun. Day off Friday, as I mentioned. Always good to have a day off, get that bullpen some rest, especially after the Twins haven't gotten super long starts from Shoemaker and Happ, and they had to go to Dauber in that game, and he threw more than he probably wanted to. Colomé with this two-inning save. It'll be good to get that day off on Friday and then have Seattle, finish out with Seattle Saturday, Sunday, and then welcome Boston to town for four, hopefully with Donaldson back in the lineup. They need him, especially against lefties. If Garver's not going to hit him, if Miggy's not going to hit him, they need Donaldson in there. How nice is it to see Nelson Cruz on the lineup card every day, though? That's huge to get back to the American League. This lineup misses so much without him. You're starting to realize that. Buxton and Cruz, just awesome, awesome thus far. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. Go Twins. We'll be back after the game tomorrow. Can't wait to talk about this home opener. Looks like the weather's better. I think it's not going to rain, knock on wood. This game's at 3:10, so I'll have a podcast tomorrow night for you breaking down everything you need to know about this game at Target Field with fans in the stands. Let's go, man. Thanks for listening today. Twins win. The Minnesota Twins win it. Go Twins. Be back tomorrow.